Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I hope you're feeling what I'm feeling. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's do that again. The Holy Ghost is here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's glorious. Oh, glory. Glory to His name. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Second Peter 1, verse 20. We're going to read verse 20 and 21. I, too, would like to welcome Sister Skasha Thompson. She's going to be translating for her grandfather in Vosis Unidas at 1 o'clock. And we're going to celebrate Brother and Sister Russell's birthdays. Only I'm not sure they know it yet. Did you say anything to them? No, I think it's going to be a surprise for them. Because Sister Russell's birthday has passed and Brother Russell's is coming up on the 1st of June. But on June 1st, we're having a Holy Ghost rally with Brother Thomas. So we want to give them the honor that they're due for their birthdays, even though we'll leave it there. Glory to God. Get myself in big trouble. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I want to talk about the breath of God today. With the help of the Lord, let's pray. Jesus, we ask, O God, for your anointing, God, upon everything that we do in this service. Already you have blessed us with your presence. You have moved among us. You have breathed on us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Continue, O God, to move here. Continue to minister here by your Spirit. Use me, I pray, and let us all be responsive and open to the ministry of your word. Have your way, God, here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, praise God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Prophecy is something that we attach a meaning to. Sometimes that word has a meaning for us that the Scripture didn't necessarily attach to it. All of prophecy is not necessarily telling about the future. Prophecy is God speaking to humanity. Prophecy is the word of God being revealed among us. Amen? Amen. So it is foretelling as much as it is forthtelling. But Peter said this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. There are many ways that, several ways that people interpret this, but in the context it can be understood to mean this, that no prophecy of the Scripture, nothing that has come to us of the Word of God, was brought to us by man, but God Himself brought it to us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I read a lot of books, even just in the last 24 hours in preparation for this, used a lot of different sources, but there is no source that compares to the very Word of God. Praise God. Any commentary, any Bible dictionary, any other source has less meaning, has less purpose, has no function without the anointed, Spirit-filled, Spirit-moved, anointed prophecy of the Word of God. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It didn't come from Amos. It didn't come from Ezekiel. It didn't come from Jeremiah, but it came from the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why a Pentecostal church is so different than any other church. If you're a guest of ours today, that's what's so different here today. Praise God. What you feel here today, you just don't feel everywhere you go because the presence of God's Holy Spirit is here. That puts the Pentecost in Pentecostal, is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, praise God. We can sing the same songs as everyone else, but when you're in a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal church, something different about that song. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word that says came not in old time is the same word that is used when he says they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It means it borne upon or carried along. So it wasn't that one of these prophets decided they wanted to bring a interesting thought like many of us preachers sometimes do. But because God put it on their heart and carried them through the thought to minister his very mind and will. Amen. So God is comparing it. Peter is comparing it. He's making this very plain parallel between the two. Prophecy is the word of God and the Spirit of God come together, revealing God's will to mankind. 2 Peter 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, everyone say all scripture, is given by inspiration of God. That word means God breathed. God breathed. So if it's the word of God, if indeed it is God's word, it is breathed by God. Even though God used different people over the course of time and their personality, their abilities even, are manifest in the way it was delivered. It was the breath of God that brought the prophecy to us. It was the breath of God that brought the word to us. Scripture is breathed by God. The Bible says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. And there he was, just a lump. But then the scripture says that God breathed into him the breath of life. Oh, praise God. I can take a Bible. I've seen courses in college timetables and college catalogs about the Word of God, about different portions of the Word of God. And they read it as literature, or they dissect it as history, or look at it in light of the people that live there. But in fact, to them, it's just a lump of clay. It's not alive. But the book of Romans says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Something happens when the Holy Spirit takes the written word of God and transforms it in our heart and our mind. You may have been raised reading the Bible, but I'm here to tell you that unless you have been touched by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have not entered into the fullness that God has in store for you. In Ezekiel 37, verse 6, it says, I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is an image that God gave the prophet. He saw a valley of dry bones, And he said, speak to these words. He said, I will put breath into these bones and I will put sinew on them. And just like I'm going to do to this image before you, I will do for the nation of Israel. But it's the same thing that the Spirit of God will do in your life today if you let him. Inspiration of God. God breathed. The presence of God is, how many felt the presence of God in our worship? Praise God. I feel the presence of God here right now. That's the word spirit, the word breath, and the word wind in the scripture are all the same word in the original language, in both the Hebrew and the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, but I know that much. It's the same word. So when we're talking about the breath of God, we're talking about the Spirit of God. It's a representation of God's presence moving. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. It was empty. There was something there. We don't know what, but it didn't really have any function, any shape, any form. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. This amorphous, meaningless, purposeless mass of whatever it was, suddenly the Spirit of God moved upon it and it began to take shape and take form. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life. I don't know how far you are in your walk with God. You may have, for the first time today, heard about Jesus Christ, or you may have been following him for a long time, but I want you to know that the presence of the living God is here, that the Holy Spirit is here, and he will enter into your life and make sense of all the things that don't make sense today. He will reveal to you things in his word that will apply to your life that will make a difference for all eternity. Praise God. That's the breath of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's the wind of God. They were carried along by the Holy Ghost. These men were moved by God's Spirit to say the things they said, to write the things they wrote. It wasn't carried by men. It was carried by the men themselves, according to the way I read it, is the men themselves were carried along by the Holy Ghost. He moved them. He stirred them. Something happened inside of them, and they couldn't get off the ride until they were done doing what God wanted them to do. Praise God. Carried them forward. He moved them. God wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to fill your life. He wants to carry you along from this point forward. He can be your motivation. He can be your strength. He can be your hope. He can be your life if you will let his Holy Spirit enter in. This phrase is often likened to the image of a sailboat being carried along by the wind. There are some sailors here. Tim and Kim don't want me to mention them. They've had some interesting experiences with sailboats. I've been on two sailboats that were actually sailing. One was a two-man or a catamaran, and there was two of us on it, and that was fun. Didn't last long. The wind died, and that was the end of the day for that. And then my father-in-law, I guess that was the Lake Michigan side we were on, yeah, and we were on that for a day, and that was fun. Learned a little bit. Learned to keep my head down when the boom is coming across. The boom is the big thing at the bottom of the sail. And I did some reading, and I found out all of the instructions that I should have had before I ever set foot on a sailboat about what the different commands mean. It takes a lot of skill and energy to maintain a sailboat. Do you know you can actually go in other directions than what the direction the wind is blowing? Now, you can actually go into the wind, but not directly. There's a name for that, too. It's on my desk. I can tell you what it is later. But you have to tack or jibe. See? Usually you jibe when you're going downwind and you tack when you're going upwind. So it means you can't approach it directly. So if you're going to go against the wind, if you're going to fight with God, if you're going to work against the presence of God, I suggest that you don't go directly at Him. Because then you'll be dead in the water. You can draw energy and strength from the wind if you know how to manage your sail and your rudder. That's right. I just wanted to see if you knew. See, a lot of people go through life, and whenever they need to, they draw power from God. They draw strength from God. They reach out to God, but they're always going their own direction. The Spirit of God is always willing to minister to us. God Himself is always trying to help us. God has the best in mind for every one of us, but if you want to be in the will of God, then you need to put your sail up and let the Holy Ghost fill your life and carry you along somewhere. That's what God has in store for you. That's what He has in mind for you. Praise God. As a child, I always look forward to this time of year. I lived about two blocks from a park in Menasha, Wisconsin. And my childhood kind of revolved around that park called Hart Park. And in the spring, I would go down there. I would skate there all winter on that ice rink in that park. And I loved that, and it was fun. But then, of course, then the ice eventually turned mushy and you couldn't skate anymore. Then I would occasionally go down to the park and see how the melt was going. You know, how much of that snow and ice and slop was still on the ground. And I would watch the water run and, you know, do the little thing with boats and watch it. It wasn't that big a park, but I was a small kid, so there was a lot for me to do there. You know. But I would also be checking to see how dry the ground was, because as soon as things were dry enough, I would go down to the local store and buy one of those paper kites and a roll of string and find socks or an old shirt or something and tear it up and make a tail, make a kite out of the 10-cent kite and tie it onto the... It was an annual thing. Praise God. How many of you have never flown a kite? It's an exciting thing to see that thing get up there. It's not so exciting when you can't get it up in the air, though. They do the strangest things, those kites, when you don't have the right direction or the right wind. And you know, they always show the picture of the kite just floating in the... But usually they're doing this. Run, 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 run. You got that kite behind you. The park was about the length of a city block, but it was only about one lot deep, if you can picture that in your mind. And the wind usually came from the south or the southwest, which meant it blew across the shorter side of the park. So, and on one end was a city street, and on the other end was a fence that ran along a residential area, and then a street on the far corner. So I had to go into the park, the middle of the park, and start flying my kite in the middle of the park before I could raise it up as high as I wanted to, because, of course, by the city street there were electrical wires. Not a good idea to have your kite caught in the electrical wires. And on the far end, of course, was residential area, and then on the other side of the fence were trees. And so I would do everything I could to get that kite up in the air, and then once I did, I felt like I was master of the universe. You know, it was just, look at me, people driving by, I got my kite up. But the principle of the kite is this, is that it's fighting the wind. It's actually, you're restraining it against the push of the wind the whole time. Now, that's not a bad thing in everyday life. But the principle I want you to understand is some people go through life fighting the will of God. That's what sustains them. That's what motivates them. That's what holds them up. Some people go through life fighting the will of God. It sustains them. That's where they get their strength from, their energy. But what happens when the string breaks? The things that you think you have control of, the things that you are anchored to, the things that you think are going to hold you in place. Praise God, many times I had to go across that park and over the fence and into the backyards and up into the tree. And sometimes I didn't get my kite back because it was so wrecked by the wind and the tree and the branches that there was just pieces of wood and string dangling in different places in one tree. Praise God, you can get by in this life. You can't even become a great man or woman in this life by not doing the will of God, by actually fighting against the will of God. But at some point, the string is going to break. You can even acknowledge the presence of God. You can acknowledge the power of God and still not do His will. I would rather not fight the wind. Acts 27:14. Talking about Paul when he was being brought to Rome on a ship. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. Euryclidon? I like that better. Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. I'll stop there. Now, you may be familiar with the story, maybe you're not, but Paul had already warned the captain of the ship and the sergeant or whatever, the soldier that had him. He said, you know, you guys are bucking the will of God here. You keep going. There's going to be a shipwreck. God has showed me this. And they said, well, who's going to listen to this prisoner? I'm a soldier and he's a sailor. Why would we listen to you? Kind of like, you know, scientist and educator in today's world. Just pick your profession. They all know better than the Word of God. And I'm not against professionals. What I'm saying is that the Word of God is always right. And Paul had a word from God. And he said, unless you surrender to God in this matter, unless you listen to what I'm telling you, there's going to be a shipwreck. 15, and the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. What'd they do? They cut the string. They just said, okay, we can't fight God anymore. We can't fight this wind. Let it go. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, meaning they took the sails down, and so were driven. Praise God. Say driven. Wouldn't you rather be carried along by the Holy Ghost than to be driven by the power of God working in your life? God force them into His will. Maybe the pressure you're feeling in your life right now is because you have been fighting against the wind all along, and God is starting to drive you into His will. Now, the Bible tells the rest of the story, and it says that what happened was Paul said, don't even try to save yourselves. Just let it go. Don't try to save anything. God's going to save you, but the ship is going to be lost in all of its cargo. And that's exactly what happened. They finally let God have his way. So you can be carried along by the will of God, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and God can do great things in your life, or you can fight with him. Maybe somebody here loves you and they've been praying for you, and God said, okay, I'll deal with them. And you kind of fought that a little bit, and that person who loves you prayed a little more, and you fought a little more, and they kept praying, and the Holy Ghost kept moving and stirring, and this didn't work out, and that didn't work out, and pretty soon you can't figure out why you seem like you're fighting with everything. God loves you. He doesn't want you to be wrecked on the sand. They lost their boat and everything else, but they saved their lives. God saved their lives. Have you been dealing with God? Has God been dealing with you? Are there some things that you need to just surrender? Are there some things in your life that you're hanging on to? Don't make God cut the string. Now would be a good time to change direction. That's what repentance is. According to the Bible, to repent means to change direction. And we as human beings, we all have a will. And our will guides us in general. You know, what I want what I want. That's basically the motto of human nature. I want what I want. And that's what guides most people until at one point, if you realize that the best thing you can do is surrender your will to the will of God. That's called repentance. And the word repentance comes from a word that means to change direction. So really what you're doing is you're doing your own thing, going your own way, just like Brother Grant taught me what repentance is, and you change direction. And you go God's direction. You let him carry you along. Praise God. Now might be a good time for you to do that before you become shipwrecked, before the string is cut, and you're carried away by forces you have no control over. John 20:19. The apostles are gathered together in the upper room. Sunday night, as a matter of fact. I never recognized that until preparing for this, that it was Sunday night. And if I have the chronology right, this is the first Sunday night after Resurrection Sunday. Now, it doesn't say that specifically in the Bible, but when you read the story, it kind of indicates to me that it's the first Sunday night after the resurrection. And they're all gathered together in a room, the upper room, some room. And the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. There's just so much going on in this story. They're afraid because, you know, they're afraid they're going to get arrested. They're not really trusting in God at this moment. And suddenly Jesus shows up in the middle of them. The door's locked, so no one can get in. But suddenly Jesus is there. I guess I would need him to tell me to have peace too if that happened. Add to the fact that most of them basically ran away when he was arrested. And that all of them believed that he was dead and gone until they heard about his resurrection. But now he's there looking at them face to face. And I guess I'd be a little bit nervous too. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Amen. Peace be still. To say shalom was a normal greeting. It was common in those days, and I believe there was an element of that he was greeting them, but he was also trying to settle and chill. You know, cool? And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then it was revealed to them. Then they knew it was God. They knew it was Jesus Christ in their midst. Praise God. Oh, praise God. I hope someone today, I hope in this place today, I hope at this altar today, there's someone that comes and sees the scars in his hand and the hole in his side and recognizes that it's Jesus Christ that's here in this place. Praise God. And he will speak to your heart and he will say, peace, be still. It will be a moment that you will never forget. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I to you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. And saith unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There's that word, breath and spirit, in the same phrase, same word. He breathed on them. Do you think that when he did that, things changed? Do you think that when the breath of the risen Savior washed over them, they felt the peace that he was promising them? I believe that in that instant, it was lifted. That the fear, perfect love, the Bible says, casts out all fear. The breath of God, the same breath that breathed life into that lump of clay that became Adam, the same breath that God spoke prophetically to that image of bones and gave them sinew and flesh and brought them to life, that same breath was the breath that Jesus Christ was breathing on them and pouring over them the presence and the power of God and releasing them from fear and doubt and unbelief. Praise God. That same breath, that same spirit, that same wind is in this place right here, right now. That same Jesus Christ is here in his Holy Spirit, and he is saying to you, peace, be still. Peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Not as the world give I to you. I give you peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. He breathed on them. They received the peace they needed. His spirit was on them. But we know it wasn't in them yet. Because if you read Luke and Acts, Jesus later on, about 30 or 40 days later, told them, probably about 30 days later, told them, stay here in Jerusalem and wait. Because you're going to receive, not only am I going to be with you in the Spirit, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the Bible says, you see, the Spirit can be working in your life. You can be going along on your little sailboat and managing your sails and your rudder and tacking according to the wind and trying to get to your objectives. And every now and then you throw up a prayer and change direction again and floating along. And you feel pretty good about yourself. I'm a good sailor. I'm doing it. We're doing this thing, man. And that doesn't mean that God isn't working in your life. That doesn't mean that he isn't answering your prayer. That doesn't mean that the Spirit isn't with you or on you. But he wants to be in you. He wants to live in your life. He wants to be in the middle of your life. Jesus told them to wait until they were endued with power from on high. The Spirit can be working in your life, but we need to be filled with the Word of God. We don't want to just be carried along. We want to be led from the inside out by the Spirit of God. He breathed on them and gave them peace, but I believe it was a promise of things to come. This spirit that you're feeling right now, he said, it's going to change you. I'll give you peace right now, but there's something more coming. Just wait here in Jerusalem, and you're going to receive power. Praise God. You can come into a Pentecostal church. You can feel the presence of God. Some people come to church just so they can have that hour or two of peace on Sunday morning. But I'm here to tell you, there is a peace here that passes all understanding. It's going to last more than an hour. It's going to last more than a day. It's going to last more than a week. It's an eternal peace. It's a peace that will be with you until you see Jesus face to face. Acts 2 and 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I believe there was about 120 of them. It wasn't just the 10 that were left. It was 120. And I believe Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that group. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. In the upper room, it was a breath. He breathed on them and they had peace. This word, rushing mighty, that phrase, it's kind of a rough translation. And the whole phrase is based on the same word that the scripture says that holy men of old were carried by the Holy Spirit. Only they're not just being carried here. It's not just a breath, but it's a rushing, mighty wind. Praise God. There's power in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's power when God comes and fills you up to overflowing. There's power when you hear yourself speaking in a language you never learned, because the power of God is flowing through you and he has complete control of your being and he's speaking through you. He's using your capacity, your language ability, and speaking in a language you never learned. There's a rushing mighty wind in this place this morning. Let's stand. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I want the peace of God. I want the breath of God. But I need to have a rushing mighty wind at work in my life. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were moved. Not just moved on the outside, but they were filled. The spirit that washed over them and gave them peace in that moment in the upper room was now filling them up to overflowing. And the Bible says that they were so vociferous, they were so overwhelmed by it that they made such a noise that thousands of people gathered around to see what was going on. Praise God. I believe there's not a person in this room that has not at some point prayed and asked God for something. I believe that there is not a person in this room at some point in your life you have not received through prayer or through someone else's mouth a promise from God. I believe the Spirit of God has worked in every life in this room. Because if it wasn't true, you wouldn't be here. God is working in your life. He's trying to move you along on the sea of life. Praise God. Maybe you just need to tack a little bit and change direction and get and go with the wind. Stop fighting God. Stop fighting the Holy Spirit and let it wash over you. Let him fill you up. Oh, praise God. God has given you promises. The Spirit has worked in your life and you have felt his presence. You have felt his presence here today. And there's a hunger inside of your soul. I know what that is. I feel that. I recognize that. I know when God is dealing with me because either I'm really unhappy because I'm not going along with it, or I'm feeling the peace of God because I'm going with it. What is it for you today? Praise God. Change direction. Acts 2:38. 2:37 says this: when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They felt something inside that made them want to do something different, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, change direction, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." You can have your sins washed away. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come and surrender your life to Him? If you need healing, we believe that the Holy Ghost can heal you. Come to this side and pray and ask God. If there's something you're wrestling with in your life, you're struggling with, you don't know the answer, come right down here in the middle and someone will help you pray. And here on this side, if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, He will wash your sins away and never bring them up again. If you have never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost,